Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez of the Fatherhood is Lit podcast. And today I'm talking to a dad that I respect to the fullest. Not only is he a true lyricist, but he also started his own dad initiative called Good Dad Gang. What's good, Term, a.k.a. Terminology?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Once again, thank you for taking the time to do this, bro. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's all good. It's my pleasure.
So, yeah, man, so let's start off like this, man. How many kids you got?
I got two daughters, man.
Two daughters. And I remember that when I first, well, not even when I first saw you, because I knew you from the music, but when I first saw you doing the fatherhood stuff, I remember you were fighting for fatherhood rights, right? Did you have
Good Dad Gang, you know, Good Dad Gang just started out as a hashtag. It was like, I would chill with my kids on the weekend. You know, we always have daddy daughter day. Mm-hmm. And it was just me being proud. Like, you know what I mean? So it started as a hashtag. And then, you know, people started saying, hey, why don't you make a t-shirt out of it? So then I made a t-shirt and the shirt sold out like crazy. And then I realized that I had to go trademark it and I had to go copyright it and get the website and get the social media and do all of that. So, you know, it just kind of grew out of hand. But it was never really like meant to be a movement. It was just more just like something out. It was natural. I was just hanging with my kids and I used to write Good Dad Gang on the post, you know, every Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it turned into that. But when my oldest daughter was young, I did have to fight for custody to see her. It was a tough time in my life. I was getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, her mom and I split. And basically, I couldn't see, you know, my kid until the judge, you know, until I got the judge to say, all right, well, you know, you're going to have to let him see the kid. So it was a tough time for me, for sure.
Yeah. And you know, I talk to a lot of dads about custody, man. And one thing that a lot of them, you know, fear is the money. Did you spend a lot of money on that case, bro?
Yeah, I did, man. I did. I'd rather not say how much, but it was a lot, man. It was enough that you could buy a car.
Yeah, yeah. But did that ever discourage you, though? Or did you just say, yo, this is just the price I got to pay?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, it's definitely discouraging, you know, because you might not have the money, you know, but you still want to see your kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so imagine somebody just came in your house, took your kid right now and was like, hey, you want to see your kid again? All right, cool. Give me $10,000. I mean, that's basically what family court does. You know what I mean? It's very sad that it's like, it's almost like kidnapping. You know what I mean? It's a sad situation, man, because a lot of people can't afford representation. You know, a lot of times it's not your choice.
Yeah.
You know, to break up with the mom or whatever the case is. Sometimes she just decides that she don't want to be with you and she moves on and she takes your kid. And now, you know, sometimes you're fighting from behind and you got to come up with this money. So now she left or you left. And now not only do you not have your kid, now you're possibly homeless. You're trying to find a new home because you just broke up. You know, your family broke up. And now on top of that, you got to pay child support. And then on top of that, you got to come up with money for a lawyer, you know, to try to make sure that you can maintain some type of custody or visitation. So it's a real rough thing, man, that fathers get put through in family court. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, man. And then you add that to like regular day life, you know, trying to hustle, trying to get your name out there, building your business. Like it has to be, you know, it has to be tough. So, you know,
Man. It happened to me when I was a young man. So it was like, you know, I definitely didn't have that type of money. I was 21. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you're 21, you're probably still living with mom or just getting out of mom's house, just figuring it out on your own, you know? So, so I came up with the money for the deposit and I did what I had to do. I think it was like 5 G's. I had to pay the first lawyer. The first lawyer was giving me like a terrible deal. He wasn't getting me no type of visitation. It was all these crazy stipulations. And so we fired him and we found a much better lawyer. And then, you know, it was the same type of thing for that one. And then it just kept going and going and going. It took years and years and years. Like, it took me, like, years just to, like, just to have my daughter overnight.
Wow. And what kept you going, bro?
just my love, man. My love for my kid. You know, I wanted to be a good parent. I grew up, you know, in a messed up situation with my parents where they didn't really get along. I had a dad. He definitely loved me, but he wasn't around. You know, he wasn't like in the household. So, you know, he was a weekend dad. I was like kind of see him here and there. So we had a rough relationship. And I always knew that I didn't want my relationship with my kids to be anything like that. I wanted to be more hands on. I wanted to be, you know, cool with them and, you know, give them lessons and show them love and just be real present. Plus, man, you know, your heart breaks when you're away from your kid. You know what I mean? Even if you're away from your kid for one day, any real parent is going to be like, man, I miss my kid, y'all. Like, yeah. So, you know, it was a heart-wrenching, like, gut-wrenching thing, you know what I mean? But I'm happy that I was able to get through it and work it out. And now, you know, me and my kid's mom are cool. And, you know, I pretty much see my kids whenever I want now. So, you know, gracious to God, I was blessed and I was able to work it out and work through this situation. And now I'm good, man. You know, everything's good.
Yeah, you know, when people hear things like that, their first thought is usually, damn, he was one of the lucky ones. I don't really see it as luck, though. Like, I see it as if you put in that effort and deal with all the BS that they throw at you, after a while, right, you kind of succeed. Is that the right notion, or is it luck?
It's a little bit of both, you know what I'm saying? I would think it's more about the effort, like you said, because they will give you a chance. Like, let's say, you know, weed is legal now, right? They sell weed on the stock market. They smoke weed all over Instagram, all over TV. You know what I mean? It's like weed is legal now, you know, but you go into family court and, you know, let's say you have smoked a joint or something. Now they're not even going to let you see your kid because now they have an excuse. Oh, no, he's a drug addict. He needs to go to a drug program. He needs to complete this program because he's on drugs. It's like, weed ain't no drug, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, where they getting their baseline from, right? Like, where they getting what a typical dude is supposed to be like?
you know? So it's like, and then it's like the lawyer's going to leave and go home and smoke a joint. You know, the judge is going to leave and go home and smoke a joint. Your baby mom's going to go home and smoke a joint. But if you smoke a joint, you can't see your kid. So, you know, these are the situations that dude's got to go through in family court. But yeah, man, it's tough for people, you know what I'm saying? Because like I said, like one little slip up like that, you know what I'm saying? Now it's like, okay, now you can't see your kids. So, you know, some people really have to really fight, and it's a long thing. You got to wait 3 months again till you go see the kid. You know, in mine, like, I remember I couldn't see my kid on Thanksgiving, because they were like, oh, we'll give you another date. So you got to wait 3 months to see what the judge is going to say in 3 months. In the whole 3 months, you can't see your kid. You're sitting at home crying. You're watching everybody at Thanksgiving, chilling with all their kids, your whole family. You're the only one sitting there without your kid. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and then Christmas right above that, like right around the corner is Christmas. Oh, shit.
I literally got lucky, man. I put in a motion and like, see, this is where the luck comes in. But I put in a motion and like the judge, like right before Christmas was like, yeah, we'll give him a visitation. And like, he'll get to see his kid on Christmas.
Damn, that's you know wild, what I mean?
But imagine for all the dudes, you know, imagine all the dads who didn't get to see their kids, you know, on Christmas or Father's Day or whatever, man. So I feel for those dudes, man. I hope they don't get a raw deal. I hope they put in the effort to be there for the kids, you know, pay the child support, pay the fees, show up clean, and put in the effort, man, because, you know, if you got to fight for it, man. But go for it, because these kids ain't getting any younger, man, and they need us.
That's right, man. We matter. And I think, you know, that's a perfect segue to making the point that sometimes as fathers, we don't have all the answers. Like, we do mess up, right? And I was reading somewhere that you had a rough relationship with your pops at first, but now he could rock a good dang gang sweater. And you said that he earned his stripes. How did he earn his stripes, bro?
Yeah, man. So, like, in the beginning, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I'll be an open book about it. He wasn't around much. You know, he was abusive. He was just always working. He was just always mad, you know, putting hands on us and, you know, yelling, screaming, swearing at us because he was just doing what he knew how to do. He was a young man. You know, his father treated him like that. So he thought that's how you're supposed to treat people, you know, real militant. But, you know, so I would say, you know, in the beginning of my life, I wouldn't categorize him as the greatest dad. But as we got older, you know, as I became a teenager and became a man, I realized that, you know, all he ever did was just work to provide for the family. Mm-hmm. And that's how he knew he was being a good dad, you know. And whenever I ever needed him for anything, as I became a teenager and as a man, he was always there for me, more than any of my boys, more than any of my family members. He was like the one that would drop everything he's doing, you know, drive an hour, go pick me up, bring me to the bus. When I was trying to get on and be a rapper, I had to take the bus to New York every week, living in Boston, you know. It just like all this cool stuff that he did, man. He fixed my car like a million times. He gave me money. He was there for me, you know, as a man. So I was like, oh, okay, he's a good dad. He just wasn't a good dad back in the days.
Yeah, and he was probably following, like, what, you know, what the stigma was before. Because, like, my, you know, I was born in the 80s. I was born 1980. So I'm an 80s baby, and my dad had different levels of discipline, right? Or different levels of being a father, where he was always there for me, never really hit me, but then he missed all the bigger events for work. You know, like he missed graduation, wedding, things like that. And it was like, yo, I couldn't fault him because that's what his parents taught him. But then there was other things that I could actually look at and be like, damn, dude, you fucked up. You know?
So it's kind of crazy. Right.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing, you know, but I respect the working man. As I get it to be an older man and I realize, you know, how hard it is to make ends meet in this world and to take care of a family, I understand the working man a lot more than I did when I was a kid and I didn't get it why he was never there for none of the stuff, like you said. Never came to the school, never came here, there, you know. But I got it as I got older. I'm like, man, he really got to go to work to keep it moving, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that comes with growth, man. I think it comes with all of us. Like, we start looking back and we start saying, all right, this is why they possibly did this. And then, you know, as we get older, we could actually say, all right, we're going to forget about this a little bit. You know what I mean? But yeah, some things we just don't forget. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely. I'm a whole different dad. I'm not the same dad, you know, that my dad was. We're just totally two different people, you know what I mean? Well, one, I got daughters, so... You know, son, with a son, it's a little different. I think, like, you know, you're trying to make your son tough, you know, with like that. So I think with the girls, you got to be a little bit more careful and easy, you know, because they're just gonna bust out crying every minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think you, like, as a hip hop artist that's always on the grind, especially when it comes to the daughter side, you know how crazy it is on the male side. So how do you balance that, where you make sure that now your daughters are caring and loving, but also tough enough that they'll say, yo, if a dude play me, I'm chopping him in the neck. You know, how do you balance that?
I just keep it real with the kids, you know. I keep it really real, real, really real with my kids, man. I see a lot of people sugarcoat a lot of stuff and hide stuff and lie to the kids. I don't think that's good because, you know, obviously you can't tell them everything if they're children. Some things are meant for adult ears only, but I mean, I really keep it real with them. I treat them like friends, you know what I'm saying? Whereas, like, my daughter's 8, man. I'm already instilling into her mind what financial literacy means. You know what I mean?
Hell,
like,
yeah.
My parents are in their late 50s, and they never practiced that. They're from the projects, you know what I'm saying? They came from nothing. So they were fighting from behind their whole life, you know what I mean, to just pay the rent. So what I'm trying to teach my kids is, like, about traveling. I've been to 50 countries. You know, neither of my parents have a passport. They've never been anywhere. So I'm just trying to break the cycle, man, you know, and I keep it real with these kids. I try to teach them about traveling, seeing the world, being your own boss, being able to do anything that you can imagine, anything you want to do, anywhere you want to go. When you grow up, you can live anywhere. You can live in Paris, you can live in Switzerland or Japan or Los Angeles, New York City, wherever. You don't have to live in the city you grew up in. You don't have to limit yourself to do what your parents did. You can do anything you want. You don't have to go to college, or you could go to college and get your master's. It really don't matter to me, as long as you're being productive, you're making money, you can take care of yourself, you're being a good person. You know, that's the stuff that I instill in my kids. But my parents didn't know no better, you know what I'm saying, to instill all of that stuff into me, because they didn't have the life experiences that I had. They more just like, oh, you know, go to school, get a job, which is just what we all kind of learned growing up. But I go about it in a little bit of a different way. And that leads also into me telling them, hey, if somebody puts your hands on you, you know, you do your best to knock them out, you know, so that we have that. That goes with that, too, you know.
Yeah. Now, it's crazy because, you know, you mentioned financial literacy, and that's something that that I think is huge, like so huge that I had my my 6-year-old who's about to turn 7 this week. I put him at the ATM this week, and you know, I didn't give him the passcode. I just put him to deposit the rent roll. And it was like people were hitting me up through the DMs telling me, man, like he's too young for that. And it's like, nah, I don't think so. Because that, you know, that's something that my dad didn't teach me till I was like maybe 14 or 15, how to use an ATM right. machine. And here's a kid at 7 telling you, yo, this word says deposit. I know that I need to deposit cash. You know what I mean? I feel just a little bit of knowledge. You know what I mean?
It's never too young, man. My daughter's 15 and I brought her to, last week I brought her to an open house. She told me she was interested in going to this trade school. You know, it's a college for beauty. So I said, hey, why don't you go over there and look at the school so you can visualize it? Like, you know, you got 2 more years of high school. And, you know, once you get out, it's either right to school or right to work. You're going to have to just get it. So you might as well start getting ready now for what's going to happen when you graduate. You know what I mean? So everybody's, oh, let her be a kid, let her be a kid. I don't really look at it like that. You know, I look at it like you're already a young adult. You're about to be an adult, so you should get ready for it. Not that there's any pressure, but it's like at least have a visualization in your mind of what you want to do. So the lady pulled me aside at the end. She said, oh, man, she goes, everybody here that came for the open house is ready to sign up. They're of age. She's like, I think it's really awesome that you brought your daughter so early so she could start weighing out her options and seeing, you know, what her future holds. And she was like, you know, I would suggest you to bring her to a couple other schools, too, so she can compare and then she can pick the one that she wants when she's ready. And she just gave me a lot of props for doing it. And it was my first time doing it. I didn't, you know, I never even went to school. I never went to college or nothing like that. So it was kind of like my first time stepping into college when I wasn't performing at a college show. So it was a cool experience, man. But yeah, I definitely want to like get ahead of the curve, man, and teach these kids all the stuff that we didn't know coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that's dope as hell because I go to, you know, I'm super active with my kids. You know, my friends joke around sometimes that they be like, man, like you're Mr. Mom. You know what I mean? Because I do everything with them. And when I go to these high school orientations for like my oldest son, who's going to be 13, you know, he is 13. He's going to be 14. He's going to go to high school sooner or later. And when I go to these high school orientations, yo, there's barely any dads there, bro. Like there's maybe like 5 yep. dads compared to like 200 women. Like what hit you that told you, yo, I got to be here? Like what was it that made you go there with her?
Well, it was really my idea.
Oh, that's dope.
You know, yeah, we were having a conversation and she brought up a school. I asked her every time we chill, I said, hey, you know what you're going to do yet? You know, have you figured it out? So for her whole freshman year, she was like, nope, not sure. So finally, she's a sophomore, and she said, yeah, I think I want to go to this beauty school. So then I Googled it. I said, well, what's it called? And when I Googled it, there was a thing that said open house, you know, next week if you want to come visit. So I said, hey, I got an idea, man. We should go over there and just check it out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was kind of like I was the only dad there as well. But, you know, like you said, but I think it was just I wasn't really looking at it for that. Like, you know, what bothers me more about that is like when my little daughter, I go to her poetry reading. She has these poetry readings and her after school program. And she always wants me to go. So it's twice a year. So I always go. And every time I go, I'm the only parent, man. Maybe another mom or two, but never another dad. And That's always crazy. Bothers me. I'm like, I feel bad for the other kids. I almost don't even want to go support my own kid because I'm like, I'm putting so much pressure on these other little kids when they go up and read their poem and there's nobody in the audience except me. You know, I'm like, damn, I feel awful for them.
Yo, that shit is whack, bro. Like that's real. That's real. Like it feels real whack to be there as the only parent.
Yeah, I feel bad for them, you know, and my kids all happy and jumping up and down every time she reads a poem, waving at me, and all these other kids are just looking at me all disappointed. I'm like, almost like don't even want to go, but then I'm like, you know, I like to support my kids. I'm a rapper. I'm a full-time rapper, so I don't have to work, you know what I mean? I work all night. I work while people are sleeping. I'm up at the studio at 5 in the morning writing rhymes and making beats, so, you know, I don't have to work 9 to 5. I'm assuming the reason why these parents are not there is because they have to work a 9 to 5, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're just not garbage parents who don't support their kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't know. It's crazy, but yeah.
No, I agree. It happens all the time. I agree, man, and that's something that I push for a lot. Like, I tell a lot of dads, you know, like, I know what it takes to have to, like, hold your household down. You know, my dad had to do that, so he had to miss a lot of things. But, like, for me, I'm in a position now where I could miss a day's pay or hour of pay to be there. But I get a lot of dads that tell me, nah, man, like, I can't, I even though I could miss that dollar, I'm not going to miss it. Like, I got to go get mine. And it sucks because it's like, man, you could get that money back, but you're not gonna get that presence. You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna get that time back with them, and it hurts. Yeah. Like I'll be at some of these events with the kids, man, and I don't know if this ever happened to you, but the rest of the kids start treating you like you're the father too. Whereas, like, yo, Term's dad is here. That's my daddy too, man. I'm showing out for him.
Nah, that's crazy, man. That is. Yeah, man, it just be like that, bro. And it's like, there's nothing you can do about it, you know? I guess the only thing you can do is just be there for your kids.
Yeah, yeah, and then if you see another kid there that needs a little, you know, a little uplifting, like, you know, you walk over to them with your kid and you tell them, yo, you're doing a good job too, man. And that little bit makes them smile, man. And it's so dope, you know.
Yeah, man, I clap for every kid. I was the only one there.
Yeah, so you're making noise.
You know, I'm sitting there clapping for like 60 poems back to back.
Yo, it was cool, man. It's a sacrifice, bro. It's a sacrifice, but it's worth it.
Nah, man, it's worth it, bro. All the time, man. Yeah. I go all the time. Every time I can go. If I'm not on tour, you know, or something like that, then obviously I can't go. But anytime that I can go, I'm always there.
Yeah, so now, you know, you're always on tour. You're always hustling. Your oldest sees this all the time, right? How do you keep her grounded and let her know that dad is working? Like, this isn't luxury. Like, this is cool. This is dope that I'm chilling with all of these dope people, but this is part of my job.
Yeah, man.
How do you do that?
You know, I explained to my oldest daughter, because she's about to be 16 next month. So I explained to my oldest daughter the difference between being self-employed and working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. The difference between being a small business owner or, you know what I'm saying, like, working for somebody else's business and building their business up. So, you know, I explained to her, yeah, I own two businesses. I own GoodDadGang.com. I own Good Dad Gang Incorporated. And I also own ST Records. And we put out music, you know, so we put out albums and we do all kinds of stuff, man. But it's dope because I don't have a boss. I'm my own boss. Nobody could tell me what to do. Nobody could fire me. There's nobody that can tell me I have to go to work today. Mm-hmm. So it's dope. But then at the same time, I'm doing all the traveling, you know, packing, shipping, investing, you know, creating, like, purchase orders, accounting. I'm doing so much stuff as your own boss. You know, you got to hire employees. You got to do all this other stuff. So mm-hmm. I explained to her that, yeah, you see me with Drake on Instagram, chilling, looking fresh, happy, and everybody's clapping, but you don't understand that I had to just pay $1,000 to buy this flight and this hotel and fly all the way to Houston by myself and then stand at a video shoot for 10 hours waiting, you know, for the one opportunity to shoot the video, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a grind that comes with this stuff, you know what I mean? And it's not just all fun.
Yeah. Nah, dude, man, my oldest is gassed up, bro. Like, when we do things because of the stuff that I've done in tech and because of the stuff I do now with fatherhood, you know, we get to skip the line sometimes. We get special VIP access. And now that's what he expects. And it's so hard to, like, set him straight and be like, dogs, we're going to Disney. We got no pool here, bro. We got no pool. We're standing on this line for a whole hour and we're going to be sweating it out. And he hates it, but it's a humbling experience. You know what I mean?
That's funny, man.
Yo, I hate it too, though, man. I hate standing in the line for a whole hour in that heat. That Disney heat is no joke.
Yeah, I brought my kids to Disney last year, man, for the first time. And such a success story for me because I've always wanted to bring them, you know, their whole life. So I finally brought them. And I never went. I never got to go my whole life. My parents never went. Their parents never brought them. We come from a real poor family, bro. You know, we really come from nothing, man. My family is from Lawrence, Massachusetts. That's the poorest city in Massachusetts, you know, immigrant city. And it's crime and just poverty, you know what I mean? So we all really didn't really come up having much, you know what I mean? So for me, I mean, my kids are like rich compared to how I grew up. So I'm happy for them that I was able to break the cycle in a way, and they have their own rooms and they're getting a good education and they have two loving parents, you know, holding them down and stuff. So they're doing good, man.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. You know, as a lyricist and entertainer, business owner, you always got to be in the mix, man. You ever told your people, nah, bro, I can't rock tonight because I'm spending time with my kids? And how did they take it?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, in the beginning, right, it was court appointed when I had to pick her up. So if I missed any visit, I would lose all my visitation.
Oh, shit. So the pressure was on.
So it was like, I could see her for 2 hours a week on Wednesday. It was from Wednesday from 4 to 6. And then every other Saturday, that was the visitation. Not custody of my own child that I created. Visitation.
Just to have the luxury of spending some time together.
You know what I mean? Like you're going to see somebody in jail, like visitation.
Yeah.
But if you miss your visits, then it proves to them that you don't really care that much to see their kid. So you lose all the visits.
Yeah.
So I was rarely on point, man. You know, like there was a time where the rapper, he wanted to sign me. And, you know, he reached out to my manager and he's like, yo, I need something else. You meet me in the studio tonight. And it was one of those court appointed visitation nights. And I was like, what do I do, Ma? I was talking to my mom. Like, what do I do, Ma? Like, this big platinum rapper wants to sign me, but we just went through all this with the court. I don't want to lose. My mom's like, listen, man, if you don't get on that bus and you go meet this rapper the game and go make it happen, I'm going to kick ass. Like, I'll call
she
your
set
baby
you
mom. She's like, I'll pick the baby up. The baby loves you. You're going to be good. Don't worry about nothing. I'll hold it down for the 2 hours today. You do what you got to do. But it was tough, man, because it was stuff like that that was really jamming me up, you know? Yeah. And it was wild. But, yeah, all my boys were, like, great fathers. You know, none of my boys are deadbeats, dog. None of them.
That's
we
what's
all
up.
Good fathers. And we all, and good dad gang, we live that stuff, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of times we have our kids on the weekends or we have our certain days. My days are Sundays, you know, because I don't have a normal work schedule. I work all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm just grinding it out. So, you know, Sundays have became daddy-daughter days. You know, those are my guaranteed days. Even though I see the kids every day, when I'm not in New York or other places, I see them all the time. Like, this morning I brought my daughter to school.
Dope, right? You know, dope feeling.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best, you know what I mean? So yesterday I was in New York, drove back for daddy-daughter day, spent the time with the kids, and brought the kids to school this morning. Boom, now I'm about to go. You know, ship out all these good dad gang orders. I just dropped the video.
Yeah.
It's just like it's just nonstop, man. Full time rapper, full time clothing line owner, full time dads. It's a lot, but it's dope.
I mean, I think you're setting the stage, though. I think you're setting the stage. Like, you know, one comment that I always tell people, and a lot of dad groups hate me for this. You know, I always tell people we don't sell T-shirts. We help dads live their lives, right? Like, live their best life. And for example, for you, like, you got the merch game on lock, but it doesn't get on lock unless you show them that you're doing the work. So you making that struggle and sacrificing, you're just building your brand to be an authentic thing, bro. While everybody else is trying to make a dollar.
Yeah, you're right, man. And I think you can tell the difference between people that are just trying to make a dollar. You know what I mean? Like, I personally won't even sell somebody a shirt if I know they're a bad dad.
That's what's
you
up.
Know?
I like that.
Like, if I know you're a bad dad and you ask me, I'll be like, yeah, I'll get at you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just swerve you because, I mean, I can't control everybody that goes to gooddadgang.com and buys them. Just like Michael Jordan can't stop any scumbag from, you know, buying a pair of Nikes. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it is what it is at some point, you know. But for the most part, man, most of my followers are really genuine people that just love their kids, man. And they're proud to represent the brand, you know?
Yeah, dogs, talking about followers, man. Like, I mentioned this to you before the interview. The first dude I saw with a Good Dad Gang tattoo came to one of my art events, bro. Like, we did a graffiti with dads where we learned how to draw graffiti with an artist. And, you know, we put them on canvases and gave them away to family members or whatnot. His name is, I know his Instagram name is BigEasy718. And he came through and he showed me that tattoo. And I was like, oh, shit, this shit is real. How does that feel, bro?
Yeah, it feels great, man, because, you know, first of all, it's my logo. You know, I think the last time I counted, we had 79 people.
With tats?
Just from Instagram. 79 people have the Good Dad Gang tattoo on them that I know of. You know, the tattoo went viral, so it's all around the world. You know, there's a lot of people without social media. It's a lot of people in other countries. So, I mean, it's probably hundreds of them at this point, but I think the last count we was at was either 79 or 80 Good Dad Gang tattoos. And Good Dad Gang was founded in 2014. You know, I would say in the last 5 years, man, we've grown so much to the point that we have such a loyal following like this, man. It's just such a beautiful thing, man. It's so cool, man. I love it. It feels great.
Yeah, man. It's crazy because a lot of people that hit me up, you know, they hit me up, and when I check to see who they follow, it's either you or myself. And when I see that, I'm like, all right, these dudes got to be legit, because they're not just fucking right. with brands that sell merchandise.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Your page is dope too, man. I really want to salute you and commend you on your work, man, because you take a lot of time and effort, man, and do some dope captions and do some good stuff for the kids and repost some dope stuff. You know what I mean? So me and Static were talking about you the other day. He likes your page. I also like your page. You know, we're a fan of what you do, man. So, you know, thanks for all you do for dads as well, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, bro. You don't know how good that feels to hear, bro. For real. For real.
Yeah. It's all love, man. We're a team, but we're not competition. You know, we're a team. Yeah. People get mad. Like, people hit me up like, yo, look at these other guys selling dad shirts. I'm like, dog, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, we're all doing the same thing. We're all trying to get people to be better fathers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody taking nothing out of mine. I'm not taking nothing out of theirs. It's like, as long as nobody's directly bootlegging my clothes, you know, which people do bootleg my clothes all the time. I have to call my lawyer, send cease and desist.
On Amazon.
Call,
you know, they're on Amazon, yeah, selling.
It's ridiculous, bro. Like, Instagram, all that. Like, they just take my logo. They buy their own vinyl cutter and just sell my shirt. I'm like, bro, you're selling photos of me and my daughter. Like, what are you doing? You crazy. Like, stop doing that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, most of the time they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I just found it on Google, or a customer asked me to do it. So most of the time they'll take it down, you know, 90% of the time. The other 10% of the time I got to get deep with the lawyers and go crazy, man. But the bootlegging is crazy. But that lets you know you're doing something good, man, when people are bootlegging your stuff.
That's true, man. When I started this about 2 years ago, and after I put out the hashtag Fatherhood is Lit, you know, I went and got incorporated and everything. I saw Fatherhood is Dope, Fatherhood is Life, Fatherhood is This. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And people will hit me up and they're like, man, you know, they compete. And I'm like, nah, man, if they think they're competing with me, they already lost. Because I'm not worried about
that.
I'm not worried about that. Yeah. Do me.
It's all good. Everybody knows who's the original anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can date the stuff back. So these people can make a great dad gang, a good pop gang, you know, all these other best dad gang. You know, they've done every type of shark bite, try to reflip my stuff that they can do. And it's like, it's all good, but yo, people know what's up. You know what I mean?
Keep it pushing, man. So what's next for you and Good Dad Gang, bro? I know you just released a new project. What else is new?
Yeah, man. So, you know, Christmas time and Father's time and Father's Day are our busiest times as a company. You know, that's our busiest time. So, you know, we're really heating up right now. We got the new hats in. We got the new beanies with the weather. You know, new style hoodie. We just dropped the flight jacket.
Ooh, those flight jackets are hard, bro. Those flight jackets are so hard.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro. I got some real special things coming with that. I don't want to blow the lid yet. You know, I'm going to wait. But I'm going to text you privately and let you know what's going on. But yeah, there's some real big things coming with the flight jackets, and I'm really excited, man. I'm doing some collaborations with some bigger brands. Those are in the works, hopefully to drop on Father's Day. You know, I got a couple big drops coming on Father's Day. You know, always sending out the care packages to the big artists that support us, like my day one supporters are Ludacris, Jadakiss, Sheik Luch, Everlast from House of Pain, Evidence, Davies, you know, there's so many, Eric Sermon, there's so many cool, like, hip-hop artists, and now I'm getting in with the NFL guys. I got a couple NFL guys that have been, you know, wearing the shirts and stuff, so I'm always trying to, like, you know, feed the brand to, like, to bigger outlets and to people that have, an outlet, you know what I mean? So I'm always working on that. And, you know, we do the backpack giveaways every year. This year was our fifth annual backpack giveaway. We gave away 500 backpacks this year full of school supplies. When we started out with just drawstring bags. They were like $2 little, like, flimsy bags, and they were cool, but, you know, we wanted to level it up. So this year we got, like, real official backpacks. You know what I'm saying? We got the logo put on it, embroidered onto it, and filled it up with backpacks. We were able to raise $5,000 through a GoFundMe and put the money all back into the event for the kids, have them come out, ice cream, you know, pizza, all that stuff, live music. We have like a sprinkler. The kids can, you know, play in because it's hot out. It's in the middle of August. Mm-hmm. So we do that. You know, I'm just trying to level up, man, and just every year just keep pushing the brand and keep pushing the good word, man. That's, you know, that we're trying to inspire these people to be better parents.
Oh, nah, it's working, man. And I truly, truly, truly respect you for the book bag giveaway. I know these things are hard to coordinate, hard to put up money sometimes. You're doing it for that many years, man, that's huge, bro.
Thanks, man. We had our biggest year this year, you know, and every way around, every way possible. You know, the backpack giveaway was a success. So we're just going to keep it going, man. You know, I want to start doing multiple cities next year. You know what I mean? This year, we usually just do it in my hometown. Like I told you, Lawrence, Mass is the poorest city in Massachusetts, so it really needs it. It's not like we're giving free stuff to rich people. We're giving it to people who really need it. But yeah, man, next year maybe we can do one in New York City. We can hopefully collab on one or something like that for next year.
Yo, consider it done, bro. That's what I'm about. Like, yeah, that's the paying it forward. That's what I live for. You know, as a businessman, I know it hurts our pockets sometimes to be thinking like that, but that's what makes me rich in the heart. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it sounds cliche, but it's the truth. I come from the South Bronx. I came from the 80s, the crack era. You know, it was grimy and poor. Section 8. You know, I used to trade food stamps, bro, for cash. You know what I mean?
Everything you just said is the same. You know, Lawrence, yeah, Mass is a lot. South Bronx. It's the same, very similar. I've lived in the Bronx and I lived in Lawrence. It's very similar.
Yeah, so giving back, man, that feels so good. So next year, you let me know. I'm 100% in. Whatever I got to do to make it happen, we'll go right back to the Bronx. Make it happen.
That's what's up. I like that. That's a good idea. So consider it done, man.
For sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the website is gooddadgang.com. The social media is at gooddadgang, you know, on all of them, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Make sure you follow us. Tag a good dad. Use the hashtag. And, you know, support. If you know a good dad, you want to get him a gift for Christmas, go to gooddadgang.com. And I appreciate you, man.
No, I appreciate you, bro. Thank you for your time. You know, I don't really shout out too many dad groups, man, because I always have a bad feeling that A, they're not in it for the right reasons. And secondly, they're not going to be around the following year. You know, so,
right,
you know, when I buckle down and I say, yo, this is a tight crew to rock with, like Good Dad Gang. To the community, I really mean it, man. These are the crews that we got to support because they're actually here. They're actually outside putting in the work. I can't say that for everybody. You know what I mean?
That's a fact, bro. So, yeah, man, well, word up. Yeah, so thanks for having me, man. We're going to stay connected, man. We're going to work on some stuff.
For sure. Well, terminology, man, you killed it, bro. You showed us what it takes to be down with the Good Dad Gang crew. Thank you for your time. Thank you for doing this. I can't thank you enough, bro, for real.
All right, bro. We'll talk soon. God
bless. For sure. And for the dads out there, it's never too early or too late to step up and handle your business as a dad. Make your presence felt. Fatherhood is lit.